Welcome to The Light Within, a podcast for anyone seeking to rewrite their life, live in their light, and align with their soul's highest purpose. I'm Leslie Draffen. Join me as we explore spirituality, sexuality, wellness, and the magical world around us. Hello, beautiful beings. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the Light Within podcast. I'm so excited to speak with today's guest. He is the first man I'm interviewing on the Light Within, and it couldn't be more appropriate because Johan Erb is truly who I credit with starting my own breathwork practice. I first was introduced to his work about a year and a half ago to 2 years ago. I originally found him through his wife, Rachel Pringle, who I also plan to speak with on this podcast. And he developed something called Pyramid Breath. He says he got a download for Pyramid Breath and his creation meditation from Source, from the divine realm, several years ago, and he has been teaching it ever since. Now, my husband and I took his Pyramid Breathwork class last year in the middle of the pandemic, and ever since then, I have practiced on and off this form of breath work. Now, Johan calls it breath play, and he talks about why he calls it that in this interview. And I can tell you, ever since I recorded this with him several weeks ago, I have recommitted my morning practice to starting with breath work. Johan has an amazing set of tools available to you online. Many of those are free, so there's no excuse for you not to become a little bit curious and check out the Pyramid Breath. In this episode today, we speak about how Johan started meditating as a teenager. We talk about the ways meditation helped him deal with his anxiety and depression as a teen. He speaks about plant medicine and the journeys he took with that in order to become the man he is today, and how he ultimately created Pyramid Breath. Johan also speaks about breath work versus breath play, how we can open ourselves to more magic, the benefits we can see from doing breath work, and why you should start a breath play practice with your partner. Now, he and his wife, Rachel, are breathwork coaches, breathwork teachers. They also teach Tantra, and they are couples coaches. My husband and I took a class with them several months ago, so we've learned some techniques from the two of them, and they always suggested starting a breath play practice with your partner. Johan speaks about this in this episode, and so I highly suggest, if you are in a partnered relationship, listening to that part of this and considering how it might be able to improve your relationship by breathing together each day. Now, Johan Erb is a world-class teacher of meditation and breath work, or like he likes to call it, breath play. He is a sought-after spiritual teacher and a coach. He has held a daily spiritual practice for over 30 years and is the founder of Pyramid Breath Method. In this method, he has designed a powerful breathing technique that uses sound, movement, and optimum oxygenation techniques to dramatically shift our state toward positivity, freeing us from past trauma, allowing us to eliminate old belief systems, patterns, and habits, and connecting us with our sacred sexuality in a safe, responsible way. Johan has the unique gift of bringing his deep spiritual perspective to his coaching practices in relationships, finding life purpose, creating healthy habits, conscious communication, and experiencing fulfillment. Johan is also an accomplished actor, utterly fascinated by the play that exists in and in between the realms of consciousness, a joyful participant in this divine play we call reality. So please join me in welcoming Johan Erb to the Light Within podcast. Thanks so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's such a pleasure.
So my first question is, what ignites your light within?
You know, it's such a great question. And what I've thought about that, and for me, it really is a visceral remembering that I am divine. And then through that, seeing and experiencing the world as divine. So taking from, you know, instead of sort of being in the mundane, going into the awe and really seeing the awesomeness of the world and you know, how everything operates and how everything is designed. And instead of looking at it and going like, oh, just what is, you know, just really being in awe of it. And the first moment I remember that really happening to me is I was either like, I think I was 15, and I was meditating in my room in Finland, and somehow had an out of body experience where like my soul or my spirit flew out of my body, like through the wall into a tree outside and up and down the park and back into my body. And maybe took like 10 seconds, the whole thing. And I remember as my spirit entered my body again, I popped my eyes open, I turned the light on, it was nighttime. And I was just like looking at my body and my hands and going like, holy smokes, like what just happened, you know? And that was like really one of the first moments for me when I looked at my own hand and I was like, wow, I've never looked at you before. Like, I've just taken you for granted. You are what you are, you know? But now it's like, what is this thing? And then everything, like plants and flowers and other humans and beings. And so for me, really, this is a long-winded answer, but it's, you know, and that's where pyramid breath for me comes in every day, is getting into the visceral feeling of the divine within myself, and then remembering that everything is an expression of the divine. And then when I can light somebody up, or bring a smile to someone's face, or help somebody else remember on a visceral level that they too are the divine, that is what really, really lights me up.
That is so beautiful. And you have talked a lot on social media and through some courses that I've taken with you about this experience that you had when you were very young. You started meditation very young. So can you talk about how you embarked on this spiritual journey? Who or what led you to that?
Yeah, so I was a pretty depressed teenager. You know, I left Estonia, which was Soviet Union at the time, and sort of you literally like you went outside of the Iron Curtain to Finland. That's where my mom and I moved to. And so, even though Finland and Estonia nowadays, it's like you pop over there and it feels like you're just going from one town to another. Back then, it felt like you were on a different planet. And you know, we went to another country where I felt like people were kind of treating us in a way that, like they, you know, again, we came from Soviet Union. Soviet Union was the enemy, even though our country, Estonia, had been taken over by Soviet Union. A lot of people didn't really know the difference, and so we kept moving from town to town, and you know, we didn't have a lot of money, and so it's just like being the new kid and struggling, and so it really came through feeling kind of down and depressed. And then I started to I reached out to my dad, who was living in the States at the time, and I was an avid reader of sci-fi, still am. And I asked him, like, you know, I depleted the second largest library in Finland, all the sci-fi books. That's how much I was reading. And I was like, what should I read next? And he said, you know, I recommend you read Dhammapada, Bhagavad Gita, and Tao Te Ching. And these are three like masterpieces of spiritual literature, you know, thousands of years old. And I remember picking up the first one, which for me was Tao Te Ching by Lao Tzu. And I was reading this book and I was just reading it and like crying and laughing at the same time, because I felt such a recognition of some sort of soul recognition, this deepening, this opening. And I previous to that, or right around the same time, I just started to sit in my room and sort of going within. And I didn't know, nobody taught me how to meditate. That was before the internet, you know, I hadn't read any books on it, but I would just start sitting in my room and sort of being quiet and just going inside. And it felt like I was falling and becoming smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And it felt like I was falling in all directions at once. And it was this really like frightening feeling at first, but also like really awe-inspiring. And I was like, wow, there's this inner world that I'm completely not aware of. And so I started to explore it. And through these books, that resonated with me deeply, I also found sort of clues or portals or understandings. And you know, one of the things that they talk about in Taoism is like you can't explain the unexplainable. You can't describe the indescribable, right? And so when you let go of trying to describe it and rather just experience it, that's where really the freedom lies. That's again, going back for me now, teaching pyramid breath, it's really powerful because you don't have to try to understand what's happening on a visceral level. You experience something that is really real to you, and you experience a change, and you experience an expansiveness, and you experience on a visceral level a connection that you didn't perhaps feel before. And so those are the things for me that sort of allowed me to kept to keep living and to keep going. And because I was definitely, I had some suicidal moments as a teenager as well, and just dark moments. These were the tools that really helped me find my inner center. And yeah, that's how I got into it.
And how did that kind of grow with you as you reached adulthood, and then, of course, your time in Hollywood? How did your spiritual journey evolve and build you into who you are today?
So I came to visit my dad in the States when I was 16, and it was the first time I did a mushroom ceremony, so psilocybin, and I was by myself on a mountaintop on a hero dose. And I don't know if any of the listeners have ever gone down that road, but it's a beautiful medicine, and luckily being legalized and different parts of the world right now, United States included. And I really had this visceral remembering and experience of the divine like I'd never had before. And it was just a ritual and a ceremony of remembering my divine nature, and it was incredible. And now I have people who are dear friends of mine are working in mental health and are working with people that are struggling with life, and they're using these tools, and the outcomes, the results are remarkable. So I feel really grateful that I got to have that experience. And then, I went back to Finland, and it took my practice to a whole next level, because I'd seen and experienced things with my eyes closed, with my eyes open, like in different realms and realities that I knew existed. I just didn't couldn't before maybe access, but now I knew it was there, so I could access them even without the medicine. And then when I came back to the States when I was 17 and ended up actually living here and moving here, we drove through Arizona and New Mexico. In Arizona, we did a peyote ceremony with the natives. My dad and uncle were really close friends with the natives. And then another experience of deep opening that was incredible. And then again, sacred space, sacred medicine with utmost respect towards the medicine, right? And then moved to New York. And in New York, I got initiated. I read the Autobiography of a Yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda, which is an incredible, inspiring book. And that got me really inspired to look into Kriya Yoga, which I did. And miraculously, literally like 3 weekends away, was this initiation that was taking place in New York City. And I reached out to them. I found it like through, back then, again, like before the internet really was a thing. I found it in this like local newspaper, and they had a little ad in it. And I reached out to who ended up being my teacher. And they were like, "Oh, sorry, we're booked up. Like, we have no spaces left. But if anything changes, we'll let you know." And so I started just praying real hard. And I was like, "Okay, listen, divine, like I need to do this. Like, let there be a spot for me." And literally, they said, "Listen, why don't you just come to the introductory sort of first thing, and then there's no space today, or for the thing, but just come and be here anyway for the introduction." And so I went, and then magically, of course, the divine aligned it in such a way that the spot opened up, and then I dove really deep into Kriya Yoga for the next, 10, 15 years. I did three different initiations. The last one is 9 days long. Like, you learn like 144 different meditation and breathwork practices, and it was really life-changing for me. And I really kind of dove in. And then I was very sort of a very strict path of just following that. And I was also got into Ashtanga yoga, and so I was very sort of monk-like for many years. And then in the last several years, I really started letting go of the structure of what I was given and started to trust the inner experiences to guide me more. And now, and that's how, Pyramid Breath Method was born, was out of the space of allowing myself to receive information and just be an open channel versus trying to just follow a rigid path. And that's been one of the biggest, greatest gifts for me, and one of the biggest, greatest openings. And I think that that's one of the things I also love to teach and share with people is like, when we, they say like praying is talking to God and listening. I mean, and meditating is listening to God, right? But when we start to be more of in a space of receiving, then all of a sudden the magic of the universe can come through us and show us what there is. And so yeah, that's where I'm at right now.
And I do have to say that one thing that drew me to Pyramid Breath was the fact that it did feel a little bit less structured than some of the yoga practices that I've done before. So let's talk about when you got the download for Pyramid Breath, and for the folks who are listening who may have never tried Pyramid Breath at all, what is it? Give me, the 411.
All right. So yeah, the download was amazing because I'm very fortunate that I have people come and practice with me pretty much every day. Even through COVID, I created a sort of a quantum space for people to join in on Zoom and the Boon.TV platforms and other ways. And it really, but before that, it allowed me to, when the information came through, new information came in, to share it with people and then sort of test it and see what is working. And everyone, the information that I was starting to get was went over really well. And then we just started to allow that flow to happen more and more. And even when you practice with other people too, there's this resonant feel that happens where, the vibration becomes even stronger and the portal opens even further. And if anyone's ever practiced anything with other people, whether it's partying or meditation or praying or exercising or whatever, right? It's better together. It gets amplified. And so I feel really fortunate that I have people who are very dedicated and come and practice with me. And through that experience, this practice was sort of downloaded and created, and then I keep refining it. And that's the beautiful thing too, is I realized that instead of it making it a rigid method, I much rather make it a really open-ended OS. So it's that, why do a program that was, 10 years ago one thing? Why not just always have it be evolving and trust that whether it's you or me or somebody else might be getting some other piece of this information. So giving everybody the empowerment to be in discovery of how and what is coming through for you, and then perhaps for you to share it collectively so that we can all benefit. And so Pyramid Breath basically uses two different types of breath work or breath play, like I like to call it, because it's just more fun. Breath work sounds like, oh, it's hard and difficult and you got to really work at it, versus I feel like with Pyramid Breath Method, you really get to discover the playful part of it, where letting go of the rigidity and getting into the playfulness of our expression, when we get to make, really weird sounds and noises and faces and movements. And so, for a lot of people who haven't experienced it or might be, let's say, sitting outside and other people are practicing indoors, might be thinking there's something crazy going on because it sounds wild and loud and people might be laughing and crying and yelling and screaming and having a really powerful experience. And so where it's different from a lot of different practices, it's a very visceral practice where we give ourselves the liberty, the freedom to experience whatever is coming through and giving it a sound, giving it a voice, giving it a movement. So, for example, if you haven't read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, it's an incredible book by this amazing psychiatrist. And they talk about how our body like downloads all the trauma and trauma and traumatic experiences into it, right? And so if you've been in a car accident, or you have been in an abusive relationship, or somebody's told you not good enough, you know, enough times, and whatever else like that, you've been in a war, or it all is trapped in our body because we haven't given ourselves a way to release it. And so in Pyramid Breath Method, we give ourselves permission to release whatever we're experiencing right now. And day to day, it's different. You know, it's like you're doing therapy on yourself every single day and allowing yourself to cry and to laugh and to make sounds, to talk in gibberish or whatever else comes through so that you can give voice to whatever is happening. And when we do that, we're actually clearing our field and we're clearing our body. And we're opening ourselves up for more magic. Like we have this idea that, you know, our identity structure is this sort of static thing, and it isn't. It's static only because we've made it so, or we've been told that it is. But really, all we are is energy flowing. And when we re-remember that through a visceral experience, then we can identify as that, like, oh, I am just love being, or I am a loving being, loving, or I am, you know, the universe experiencing itself, herself, himself. And all of a sudden we're open to so much more magic in our lives. And so that's kind of the best way I guess I can describe it. And the other piece of it is then when we do release all that trauma or whatever else that's been holding us back, limiting beliefs, stories that we've been telling ourselves or we've been told, then the other part of the practice, when we slow down our breath and become really deliberate in what I call creation meditation, which is part of the method, we are actually creating a new sense of self, a new sense of identity, a new way of showing up in the world, giving ourselves, you know, freedom to express however that feels really good. And then also using our imagination to visualize ourselves completely joyful and happy and successful and loved and nourished and taken care of and held. And it's amazing because what I always talk about is like the world occurs inside of our brain. It occurs inside of our being, right? So we create the state, we create the lenses through which we look at the world through, or the lenses through which the world occurs to us. And so then we get to be the masters of our experience. And it's really, really empowering because you don't have to change anything on the outside. You change stuff on the inside. And all of a sudden you're looking at the world completely differently. And that to me is like a total hack, you know, or this marvelous upgrade in our understanding of who we are and how we are and what life is about and how we get to show up.
And do you think that secondary part, the creation meditation part, is one of the things that helps set this apart from sort of other methods of breath work? Because I've done some other types of breath work, Wim Hof, for instance, where you don't really go into that secondary part. It's that forceful breath, which has a lot of similarities with pyramid breath. Although I do like with pyramid breath how you do like the undulating part for your spine. But do you think the meditation and the second portion of pyramid breath is kind of what sets it apart and makes it, you know, have its own set of benefits?
Yeah, you know, perhaps that's the way to describe it. I mean, for me, I think that what a lot of other breath works don't necessarily focus on is how do you utilize the space, utilize this inner state now to create your now, to create your future, right? And so just you have this beautiful visceral experience, and then that's it. And that's amazing. And that there's nothing wrong with that. That's wonderful. But then why not, when you're in this space of divine expression and opening and you're connected to the quantum energy in the field, why not use that to then also create a new version of ourselves, a new version of our lives, new possibilities? And, you know, somebody who does something like that is Joe Dispenza, who I greatly admire. And he definitely has meditations with breath that I've experienced that are wonderful. So, but yeah, for I think for a lot of the sort of breath work methodologies, and you know, I'm only aware of maybe 10 different ones or 15 different ones. I know that they don't do this bit the way that we do it in the pyramid breath method. But all of them are wonderful. You know, I'm not trying to take a dump on any other
Right.
practice because, you know, in Hinduism they say, you know, God has, you know, a million faces. And so whatever way that you get turned on to the divine is amazing. Whether it's prayer or whether it's meditation, whether it's breath work, whether it's nature walks or, you know, whatever like gets you closer to that feeling is great.
What are some of the immediate things you kind of realize in your body when you do breath work? And at its core, what is breath work?
Yeah, so breath work or breath play is a way to, so let's just talk about actually what people don't do normally. When as babies, most babies are just belly breathing, right? We're breathing deep into our lungs, we're filling our lungs. And as we get older, because of all the mental stuff that we have to deal with, we start breathing less and less deep, and we start breathing shallower and shallower. And in our society today, there really aren't practices, or we're not taught these things as kids, how to calm our bodies. For example, the Navy SEALs use a breath work called box breathing, right? When you're using a breath to calm your nervous system. I have clients that I coached, you know, that are lawyers or CEOs, and that's one of the practices that I always give them to calm their nervous system. Because when we get nervous, when we experience anxiety, or when we experience a lot of sort of input from the outside world, which nowadays there's a ton of because all the social media and the TV and the this and that's so much noise. And then we literally like people stop breathing. And so breath work is a way for us to, instead of needing to take Xanax, or instead of needing to take another pill or alcohol or whatever to calm our nervous system, to really calm ourselves. Right. And to actually oxygenate our cells in our bodies. And then also to expel toxins. Apparently, we expel 70% of our toxins through breathing. So imagine if you're not breathing correctly or you're not breathing properly, you're toxic. So this is a great way, and it doesn't take a long time to do it, which is amazing. And so you're detoxifying your body, you're detoxifying your mind. And the beautiful thing about pyramid breath method and similar paths is that it actually gives us the ability to change our state. So you go from a stressed out state, which most people are in most of the time, unfortunately, to a really calm state where you feel a release, you feel an opening. Your cells are saturated with oxygen. You've just detoxified yourself because you deliberately were breathing. And then also, you've given yourself permission now to make sounds, right? When's the last time as adults we have given ourselves the permission to make weird noises? Like as kids, we do it all the time. We make weird noises, we get upset, we cry, we laugh, we do all the things, and then we're over it, right? And then they go on. But as adults, we just pack it all in and it's all in there inside of us. And we try to pretend that it's not there because we've been told culturally it's not okay to have a little freak out. It's not okay to be sad. It's not okay to be this or that or blah, 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 blah. So we just stuff it down. So the huge benefit of breath work is that we get to release it. We get to let it go. It's like a reset button, right? And again, it's not, you don't do it just once. And it's all done. It's a practice. So I want people to really understand that. It doesn't mean that you need an hour each day. Maybe you just need 3 minutes. But just taking the time off from our phones, from, you know, the TV, from stress, from all the things, and just being with ourselves, and then doing a bit, like for most people, meditation is really hard because you're trying to shut your mind down or, you know, stop your thoughts. But if you do breath work before meditation, it's literally like you're cheating because you're getting to a place where your mind just goes blank And then you're in the state of just like, oh, renewal, a new beginning. And so the benefits are huge, huge, huge. And if people haven't had a chance to read the book Breath by James Nestor, which is a New York Times bestseller, it's an amazing book. And he goes deep into the science of how we're breathing and also the importance of actually breathing through the nose in our lives. So that, people have like sinuses that are clogged and stuff, and they're breathing through their mouths. And those people are way, 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 way sicker than people that are breathing through the nose. And apparently, in these ancient cultures, native cultures, people would barely ever open their mouths unless they were eating. They would only breathe in through their nose because their belief was that when you breathe through your mouth, you're losing life force. So there's so much that's there. And in the book, Breath, James Nestor really goes into a deep dive and does these. He actually like links up with a university and they do these crazy experiments of what happens when you're mouth breathing versus nose breathing, and also goes into the science of the Vedas and yeah. So there's so much there, and I really encourage everyone to do their own research also, and notice how you're breathing. If you're listening to this podcast right now, notice your breath pattern. How do you breathe? Do you take deep breaths? And if you take a deep breath, even let's do one together right now. Deep breath in through the nose. And let's hold it full for just a moment. And then a moment we'll exhale with a sigh. And exhale. How good does that feel? It's amazing, right? One breath. And immediately the body's like, thank you, my goodness, you know? So imagine if you do that for a minute or 2 minutes or 3 minutes or more.
So you speak a lot about, the people that you coach, and I know that you and your wife do breath work together, pyramid breath together. So I wanted to ask you about what you've experienced people feel about breath work and maybe body image, because you talked about the belly breathing and how when we were young, we're breathing through our bellies. You see the little babies with their little tummies, all full. And as we grow up, especially for women, I think a lot of us go into the chest for breathing because we're always sucking it in. And then I think that also just keeps us from being more embodied. So how do you feel like breath work gets you into your body, and can it heal things like maybe the trauma of feeling like you don't look a certain way and that's not good enough?
That's a great question. Absolutely. I think that we have all these constrictions that we put on ourselves from society and the way that we're supposed to look. Like there was a time when having a full belly look was considered sexy, and it was just it's culturally, from time to time it's just different. Like what is sexy, what is beautiful? And I think in today's world, even if you're walking around and sucking that belly in, which could be great if you're really engaging your muscles and you're doing Pilates and stuff like that. But if it's out of shame and tightness, it's just going to create disease in our bodies. So it's also understanding the why, right? And when we, I also believe, and I believe there's science to support this. When we belly breathe, and this, what is it called? Like Kapalabhati breathing or something like that, that you do in yoga when you really like get into the belly and open that up, is also because we've sort of blocked that place. We're not actually energizing that place, so we're cutting off our sensual energy, our sexual energy, our creative energy. And so it's understanding that's really helpful that if we understand the why behind why we want to let our bellies loose at least every now and then, why we want to bring energy and aliveness and healing there at least every now and then, and if it's your daily practice or your weekly practice, all of a sudden, I've had people in that, I'm teaching, we're teaching, had these orgasmic experiences and awakenings. Because what they've done is, like you described, you've blocked off that bit of yourself. You've literally like created concrete in there. And so the energy doesn't flow, right? And so when we do these breath methods where we allow our belly to really roll and expand and contract and move. And then when we impairment breath as well, and where it differs actually from other methodologies, is that we're really utilizing the pelvic floor, and we're utilizing our genitals as well. Lots of ladies will know the word yoni, which is basically a sacred word for your vagina. And that's sort of, and then I named, for the men, I named it pony, which, goes for perineum. So yoni and pony, which is kind of funny, but we really activate that part of ourselves. So imagine that you're breathing in through your yoni and through your pony. But if there is a block in your midsection, because you're sucking your belly in, right? Because it needs to look a certain way. That energy is not going to go anywhere. It's not going to move up into your heart. It's not going to move up into your brain, into different parts of your body. So it's really important to understand the why we're letting go of all the contraction and all the tightness, is so that we can actually activate our whole body, our whole being, to the fullest potential of experiencing pleasure and love and joy and healing. And so when we understand that why, it's easier to do it. And then listen, if you go into the world and you want to have a tight belly and suck it in, make it fun for yourself. Switch that story around it, and don't hold it in and tight because out of fear and shame, but rather because maybe you're doing a belly exercise. And then also, if you're in your mind aware of how energy now moves, you can actually activate it in a different way. You can feel the connection between your yoni and your heart, or your pony and your heart. And I just coached a bunch of men that were, they literally had these like orgasmic body experiences when they were doing this breath, and they were like, oh my gosh, like I had no idea. And it's taken away the shame around all that and feeling those feelings, because it's just divine love expressing itself. It's just God wanting to come through us, or goddess, or whatever name we want to give that energy. It's life force. It's beautiful and amazing. So it's changing the narrative, changing the story around it, and allowing that to enrich us and enrich our lives and enrich those around us.
And I'm so glad you brought that part up about the pony and the yoni, because I'd almost forgotten that key integral part of what pyramid breath does. And I think that's also why I think that it's very, very activating, because it does, from your floor where you're seated all the way up to, your higher chakras, it gets everything flowing. How have you seen breath play? I'm gonna start calling it breath play, like you do,
Nice.
change your life?
Man, for me, even though I practiced breath work for many years before pyramid breath method came through, I was, like I said, I was rigid in it, in the practice. And with breath play, it's made my expression of who I am so much more fun and less rigid and more, flowy, and like fun is really the word that keeps coming, where I'm no longer afraid of these inner experiences of orgasmic, blissful, joyful, sensual experiences that happen, and then how to direct that energy into my heart or into my brain or into other people or into whatever I'm creating in the moment. And it's just opened up this whole new world for me and for so many people who try this practice, because it takes away the shame and takes away the sort of whatever's, with culturally or with religion or however we've been programmed, that somehow is bad or wrong, or we shouldn't be feeling this way, to really like enliven us to a whole new level of experience in this life. Like, imagine that you're just experiencing life at like 5%, and all of a sudden you have access to like the other 95. And so for me, it's really been that, where I get to just have these experiences that are so magical and so fun and so connected. And it's it and when you practice with other people, even in what I call the quantum container, which means like whether it's over Zoom or Skype or on another platform, you really get to go, wow, like we feel each other through this energy across time dimension, across space, across reality. And so it gives you this visceral understanding that we're all so connected and that we are energy and energetic beings. That even, they've done these studies where somebody is on their deathbed or people are sick, and literal scientific studies that when people pray for those people, hundreds or thousands of miles away, even, those people get better. How does that work? Right? It's because we're connected energetically. We're all connected. And so when we take away that restriction and we give ourselves freedom to feel those connections, all of a sudden life, we're not lonely anymore or not as alone anymore. We start feeling into not just other people, but also into the animals and plants and beings that are existing in the multiverse on other levels. And so it's just everything becomes more colorful. It's like you're putting, going from watching, black and white TV to putting on a virtual reality goggles and a haptic suit and being like, oh my gosh, like, whoa. It's just a completely different experience.
And I loved when my husband and I took your pyramid breath class on Zoom last summer. We did feel like the ability to feel connected to all these people, no matter where they were. But I know you practice with your wife. So can you talk a bit about how this breath play practice can really help relationships as far as connecting and feeling into each other?
Oh, yes. So it's just amazing. And one of the things I'm so grateful for our relationship is that we practice together basically every single day. It's one of the things that we do together. And some days we practice with our eyes open, some days we practice with our eyes closed. I'd say most days right now with eyes closed. But when you with your partner or with your family or with your friends open this portal and you create this field of resonance, right? You start it's like you open up this whole other realm of connection between the two of you. That in the beginning might even feel a little bit scary because all the unspoken, all the things that are beneath will come to the surface. But if you're not afraid of it, and you shouldn't be, but if you are, I highly recommend you read a book called Conscious Loving by Gay and Kathleen Hendricks, and they really give us so many incredible tools how to consciously communicate. You could also take a course with me and my wife. We teach that. But that's like you access these parts of yourselves and in each other and start feeling each other on a much, much deeper level. And then obviously that translates into deeper connection, deeper intimacy, love making like you've never experienced before. But it will also bring up your stuff, which again is not bad. It's good because it's not going to go anywhere unless it comes up. And so I find it really, really useful as you start on this, or when people are starting on this deepening journey with themselves and with their partners, to also then know the tools, how to communicate the difficult things, the challenging things, what my wife and I call the 3%, or some, Gay Hendricks might call the microscopic truth. It's those things that we've kind of tucked away and we're like, I can never say this, even though I'm feeling it all the time. But then that's taken away from the aliveness of the connection. It's taken away from the aliveness of your relationship, right? So to tie it back into the breath play is you start feeling each other so much deeper and creating more trust and more intimacy and more love. And also, whether the word is ascension or the word is transformation or whatever else name we want to give it, you literally start on a visceral level together, expanding your container for love, for intimacy, for joy, for depth. And it's life changing.
Damn. That was, I mean, yes, absolutely, all of those things. Before we wrap everything up, what would you say would be the first place to start if somebody wanted to embark on their own breath play adventure?
So a great place to start is I would obviously recommend the Pyramid Breath Method because I love it and I do it every day and I teach it. And if people are more sort of mental, I would say that read the book Breath. It's a really great book to understand the why you're doing it. For most of us, because when you first start doing breath play, it could also feel uncomfortable and new, and you're like, oh, I don't know, it seems kind of, I have to put effort in and that. And so people might fall off because they're like, it feels kind of hard in the beginning, or I have to like consciously breathe. But if you understand the why, it's really, really helpful. Obviously, educate yourself, listening to this podcast and other podcasts and watching videos and getting into the research. And then if you're interested in Pyramid Breath, then you can go to pyramidbreath.com, and there's links and things you can download links on a free level one Pyramid Breath method. You could go to boon.tv/JohannHerb and join me, and I do usually two live practices per week, and there's also tons of videos. And again, it's better together, guys. That's what I really found is even though I've been doing it forever, it's still better together. When I'm doing a solo practice, it's a lot harder. And so even if you're watching a video of, for example, me guiding you through it, it's way, way easier because you're doing it together. And so I would really invite people to not just go at it themselves, but really, whether it's on video or with other friends or people, family members, partners, do it together because it strengthens the field, it strengthens the resonance, it amplifies everything. And then you get to share the experience together. It's really, really empowering and fun and joyous.
Okay, yeah, you inspired me to get back on it because I've fallen off of the breath part. I still meditate every morning, but I'm gonna have to get my shit together and get on all these things. And so you mentioned Boondock TV and the Pyramid Breath website. You're also on Instagram, so give folks the all the places they can connect with you.
Right. So on Instagram, it's at Herb Johann, URBJOHANN. And and then boon.tv/JohannHerb. Again, if you go to my website, pyramidbreath.com, you can find all those links there. And I look forward to connecting with you guys and taking you on a ride of a lifetime. And I've ex one of the things that, like I said in the beginning, that lights me up is when I can be a part of your opening, your discovery, you experiencing yourself in a new way. That is one of my greatest joys and pleasures. And when I teach, I also practice with people, which is also different from most teachers, because a lot of times teachers just teach, but I actually go on that dive with you, and then we are all together in this resonant field together. And because I've been doing it now for over what is it, close to 30 years now or something. Oh no, 30 years. So there's also something that gets transferred in that when you're with somebody who's been practicing for a long, long time, something happens in the resonant field that really helps the people that are new to have an elevated experience because you're practicing with people who've been doing it for a long time. Back in the day, they talked about, gurus and teachers, and people just go and sit, in their presence. And I no means consider myself a guru. I'm just a person who's been having a practice a long time, and I love it. But I'd really welcome people to experience the togetherness of it because it's better together, guys.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of that goodness.
Thank you for having me. Such a joy to see you again.
I hope this conversation inspired you like it inspired me. Like I said before, ever since talking with Johan, I have recommitted myself to doing a breath play practice in the mornings, and it just really sets me up to meditate and start my day with a clear, focused mind. You can find Johan on Instagram at herbjohann, URBJOHANN. His website is called Mind Primer. I'll put it in the show notes. And again, you can also find him at boon.tv/JohannHerb. Again, all of those links will be below for you. You can connect with me on Instagram at Leslie Draffen or at the Light Within podcast. Shoot me an email if there's somebody that you want to hear on the show. That email is thelightwithinpodcast@gmail.com. Please leave a rating or a review before you go and share this episode with someone you love. Remember, there's no light without darkness, but there's no darkness without light. I'll see you next time.